Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room. Oh, Danny Verte. I'm Harrison Sanford. Yo estoy en Charlotte, North Carolina. El está in Los Angeles. But Danny is on his way for the Throne, which is a high school basketball tournament, which we're going to talk to you guys about a little bit later on in the show. Maybe we'll talk about it now as we open up the show. And I will be back in New York City Tuesday morning, as I spent this past weekend celebrating my younger brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Hastings, as we watched his Michigan State.
Happy birthday, my dog.
Almost, kind of give North Carolina their fight.
They had a good start.
We're going to talk about the NCAA tournament too as well. So much is going on in the world of basketball. Don't you love it? But let's start, Danny, first with, the play-in race, because Monday night in the NBA continued to give more drama. The Phoenix Suns lost to the San Antonio Spurs. Let me say that one more time. The Phoenix Suns, with Kevin Durant, with Devin Booker, with Bradley Beal, lost to the San Antonio Spurs. Actually, let me say it one more time. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns lost to the San Antonio Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. And now the Phoenix Suns are looking at the number 8 seed in the Western Conference playoffs. And Danny, we talked about it already. The last 10 games of the Phoenix Suns schedule is absolutely brutal. And then you still have the Golden State Warriors, who lost two games this past weekend. The Golden State Warriors are currently holding a half game lead against the Houston Rockets. We're talking about a play-in, not even playoffs. We're talking about a play-in that might not even feature Steph Curry. Danny, it's wild right now.
It's very wild. And I'm glad you said it three times to make it sound crazier each time that the viewers are listening to it. It's like, and I mean, I've seen strange shit happen in the league. We've seen stranger things happen in the league. But the weird thing to me is when I look at the numbers here, the Suns outshot them. They shot 50% from the floor, San Antonio 44. They shot 35 from three, almost 36. And San Antonio 25, 26. How do you lose that? They lost by two. How do you lose that game? You know, like, obviously, you say Phoenix usually outscores teams. They don't play well enough defensively. But they played good enough defense. They held them 104 points. They just only scored 102. Bradley Beal didn't have a great game, of course. But even with that, how do you not score enough? And when you shot better than them, like turnovers, rebounds, free throws, I have to look at the rest of the stat sheet, but that's a game that you can't drop with the schedule that you have at the end of the season, especially the way you did. But I said, we've seen stranger things happen. It's just this point of the season. And it's tough to beat a team back-to-back because they just played them recently. You know, Wemby had some words from guarding Victor Wembanyama for the referees. But you got to win those games. You cannot lose those. Back-to-back San Antonio, that's the easier part of your schedule, even though they're any given night in the NBA, nobody's an easy team. But the easier part of your schedule is the ones you got to capitalize on. You know, you can't drop that. So, it's the playing game's about to get real serious. I've seen Houston is balling and creeping up. Golden State dropped the game other night to Minnesota. It's going up and down, and I mean, it's going to be exciting times for the league, but exciting for the play-in tournament. And fans are going to love it. I think it's going to be great for basketball. But, you know, those teams that are in it, the Lakers, Golden State, Houston, Phoenix, that might end up in there. So it's
going to be nuts when you think about when we get to the playoffs – either more than likely you're not gonna, you won't have LeBron, or you won't have KD, or you won't have Steph. Isn't that correct? Like, one of those guys is not going to be in the playoffs this year, the way it looks right now, and it's most likely going to end up that way. Obviously, we got a new era of stars in the NBA now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards. But, man, it's like, if you would have told me that the Suns would be a play-in team at the beginning, after they traded for Bradley Beal, I was like, yo, you're stupid. But this is the reality that we face now. This is a team that is still the worst fourth quarter scoring offense in the entire NBA. And, Danny, I think this is a lesson. This is a lesson now. The new CBA told basketball fans, don't get a big three. You can't afford a big three because you can't balance out the roster. And yet Matt Ishbia, the new owner with the Phoenix Suns, did it anyway. And now we're kind of seeing it. I mean, they don't have a no offense to Isaiah Thomas, none at all. But when you're trying to get Isaiah Thomas to be your point guard, it lets you know that things were, you didn't construct a roster that you probably did the way you should have. Because there's no way it's not tenable. And this is what we're seeing.
He's not even getting minutes right now. He's there on a 10-day, but they signed him because obviously he deserved to be there on a 10-day. But they don't have a point guard. They don't have a bench the way we expected them to have the bench. So the makeup, they couldn't have the money. And that's a lot of teams. You know, the CBA, they don't have money to be able to spread out or spend. You can pay your top guys, and it looks like the rest of the guys have to pick up the chips, and you have to give a bunch of minimums. Even then, it's like they don't have, without going into the taxes, you know, the money to spread out, which is tough. But, I mean, to be fair to them, if you told me they were in a play-in, I would have said they must have had injuries all season. And you know what? They did. So even Bradley Beal's, and he's known to have injuries here and there most of the time. And KD's usually known to have injuries here and there, and he's older. So I know Book, you consistently can play throughout the season and give you 70, 75 games. But the other two, most of the time average, especially with KD at this age, he takes some games off, probably about 50 games. You know what I'm saying? 55. Brad, usually about 50, 55 games. KD might give you 60, 65. But I said, if you told me that, I'd be shocked if you said everybody was healthy and they lost games. But I'm like, you know what? So they haven't had enough minutes on the road. To me, I mean, I think they finally got that group. They've had enough games before the playoffs. They shouldn't be able to try to capitalize on it. It's not a Kyrie, KD, James Harden situation where they barely play at all. But I said, with the injuries, it's kind of limited them. And, you know, this is the time that they're supposed to be putting together. And it's kind of too late. Hopefully they get it together before the playoffs start to break and find a rhythm. But even then, like you said, the way they constructed it, they picked up a bunch of people and they made trades. And when they made trades, I mean, I don't think they got much back. They traded Utah and they got David Roddy back. You know what I'm saying? Like, certain small things happened that wasn't enough to move the needle. They should have went and got Tyus Jones. They should have went and got a point guard or another backup, maybe another backup big. But, right now it's not looking great.
Not looking great at all, man. And I obviously DeAndre Ayton. You know what? Honestly, too, the way it was kind of set up, I'd have kept Ayton and Beal. I'd rather have that than the way they kind of they traded Ayton, and they didn't net a point guard in that equation. How does that happen?
They got Nurkic back. Nurkic is a good piece for them. I do like Nurkic.
Yeah, for sure. Eubanks.
They do need
you
a point guard.
DeAndre Ayton, you need to get a point guard back. Point blank, period. Or you need to just have a point guard. So now it's scary hours for the Phoenix Suns. Also scary hours for the Golden State Warriors, though, Danny, because they haven't looked good in their past two games. And the way the Rockets are hooping, particularly Jalen Green. And we got to give a big shout-out to Ime Udoka, because once Alperen Sengun was done for the season, I'm like, oh, okay. Golden State's going to lock in that playoff spot. As it stands right now, they only hold a half-game lead. And everybody, mark your calendars. April 4th, Thursday, Golden State at Houston. The winner of that game probably gets into the playoffs. It's a somewhat of a play-in playoff game already that we're going to have, because both of these teams have very difficult schedules. But both of them, as I looked at their calendar earlier today, have five winnable games, like five games you expect them to win, but they have a head-to-head. Danny, as it stands, I mean, I don't think Adam Silver wants to see no play-in without Steph Curry. But it could happen. It could happen. Who do you think makes the play-in between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I thought Sagan was coming back at some point. I knew he was out for a while, but they said there was no major damage, no real injury, nothing torn, which is a good sign. And, I mean, they're not really playing for much at this. They weren't at the time playing for much, but now they're playing for something.
9-1 in the last 10.
Eight-game, nine-game streak. You know what I'm saying? They won an eight-game winning streak and playing well. Jalen Green's been balling. And Fred VanVleet, all those guys are playing well without Sagan. So Golden State, they also said toughest schedule for the rest of the season was Phoenix. So that's going to be tough for them. Mm-hmm. I see them being in the playing game. But added to the Houston and Golden State, I'd like to see their – it looked like Houston had this last 10 games. I won't say easier games, but their stretch was
a lighter
schedule for them as a pickup team. But that's what you need to kickstart some momentum, some chemistry. So I think the rest of the way, I think they have the momentum. I don't think Golden State does, you know, and obviously the media, the players, they're all kind of questioning Steve Kerr at this point. Why are you sitting Steph? Why are you not playing him more when teams are going to run? Why are you resting him as much? And he's saying we can't rely on Steph. You know, last 15 years we've been doing that. And it's like, yeah, at this point, I don't know if you have much else to go with. You know, the roster makeup that you guys have. It's Clay off the bench, Steph and Wiggs in the starting lineup. You got Pazinski to give you a little something. They haven't really played Looney much. You know, Draymond does what he does, but you got to exert all of the power that you have and all the pieces that you have to get into where you need to get to. And, you know, that's Steph ain't getting any younger, so why not use him now? And, you know, later on, of course, you're going to have to rest him. But right now, it's like you got to use him. You need him, and especially when he's playing well. He's playing well in that game. In that Minnesota game before, I think, when he was in that stretch where he sat in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Now, it's – I mean, we knew the changes of the guard had to happen at some point, but, man, mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be like this, and that's exactly what could be looking like.
When they bring everybody back, you expect them to still be good, but you can't stay great forever, and we knew that. And usually teams break up. Usually guys get older. These guys are still very much – healthy and good players. It's just some part of it's mental thing, and some part of it is missing some of the other pieces. Some of it may be lack of leadership and maybe some of coaching. We don't know. But to this year, they have not put it together. They lost Jordan Poole and brought in CP. It's a change, but not a huge change. But, you know, they lost some depth. They lost some identity, and they kind of, you know, been in and out of trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to sound crazy, but would the Golden State Warriors have had a better chance of making the playoffs this year if Jordan Poole was there and not Klay Thompson?
Not Klay Thompson or not Chris Paul?
Klay Thompson.
I'm not going that far. I would say if you would have kept him and not traded for CP, CP had a lot of injuries this year. He's obviously a point guard, different dynamic. I think Jordan Poole scoring off the bench where you don't have to play off the bench, it's been a huge difference. You know what I'm saying? It would have helped open up the floor more for Klay. That's a different balance. You know what I'm saying? So I think they would have been, and they would have had more chemistry. They wouldn't have to figure, you know, how to play with Chris. You know, that takes some time. They would have had the same group from last year. I said, I would have forced, just like Phoenix, I would have forced that to make it work. We got DeAndre.
Y'all need to get along. We're going to
make this shit work. Golden State, y'all need to make this shit work. Like, if y'all going to keep those guys, if not, you know, change the difference. You can't let one piece go and then get older and not bring in other pieces. You know, that's tough to bounce back from. Yeah. Listen, you want to be good. Now it's like if you don't care about playoffs, it's like, all right, we're just gonna ride out with these guys and then we're gonna start over once they get out of here. Cool. Respect that. Pay Draymond, make sure you pay Klay too, and y'all can ride out to the sunset with those guys and then start over when they're done. But if you actually care about winning and trying to keep that organization afloat, you gotta make sure you have the right pieces around them and the next, you know, pieces coming in. And I don't think they set it up well, and I think, you know, they should have forced it to happen. I don't think Phoenix set it up well. They should have forced, you know, the DeAndre Ayton and keeping campaign, I think that would have been a better fit, you know, with those guys there.
Yeah, and obviously, too, we can't forget Andrew Wiggins, who's pretty much been MIA, but is what it is out there in the Bay. We definitely keep our eyes locked in on that. And obviously, we'll keep our eyes locked in on the NCAA tournament. I've been watching some of Danny's coverage with Yahoo Sports. It has been fun to watch, and it has been a first fun weekend of the NCAA tournament. The one thing we haven't had – we've had some upsets, but we haven't had the big, big, big one, at least in my opinion. And I say that because
for agreed, the first just one. Time, but it's been very boring. And like to your point, it's been watching because the top seeds are winning. All we had the first time 1 and 2 seeds, and what 55, nicest, something crazy.
Nice, since 1979, the first time the one, all the one and two seeds,
and two seeds
have moved on to the Sweet 16. Yeah.
And now, only Kentucky is the only one that the big upset was Kentucky, but it's been kind of like where there's been some overtime games. But trust me, when I'm watching the cover, it's like, man, this game is a little slow. Purdue torched UConn, Houston had a good one, but there's like most other top seeds are just they're handling business. Illinois, Tennessee do pretty well. So it's good to see that. But I think from a fan base, people want to see the drama, and they want to see some. But also, if you want the right viewership, you want those top schools, and
you need
those top schools in the Final Four, in the Elite Eight, in the Sweet 16. You can't have Samson versus Oakland. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. Stanford result. You can't have that type
Stanford,
of game.
You can't have Stanford versus Oakland. You can't. I will say this though. Last week when we did our NCAA tournament bracket predictions, while we were doing the show, I just want to remind all of y'all who either were listening to the show on your podcast apps or watching the show on YouTube, just want to remind y'all that one co-host picked Yale to beat Auburn. I don't know which co-host that was, but one of the co-hosts did.
Who picked Yale?
Did you pick Yale to beat Auburn?
Well, the crazy thing, Auburn.
Yes, I did.
You did.
I picked Yale to beat Auburn. Yeah.
Auburn messed me. They screwed me. But Auburn, I had them go to the Final Four. It was them and between them and Illinois. Illinois, I should have picked Illinois. But Auburn, I feel like somebody got hurt. Somebody got fouled out, ejected.
In the beginning of the game, the dude from Auburn elbowed old boy.
He got ejected.
And they kicked him out of the game in like the first 5 minutes, bugged out.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you that dude Terrence Shannon Jr. from Illinois? He could go.
He's a player, bro. And I think a lot of people kind of, I wouldn't say overlooked him, but they didn't want to give him his flowers or credit because of the off-the-court issues that he's going through at the time. Right now, it's still pending, but he's playing out, and he could be the player of the tournament. And we spoke about him when I was with Yahoo, and we spoke about him here inside the green room. So he can get downhill. He's a lefty. He can shoot it pretty well. He also gets his teammates involved, and it's not just him. He has two other players on his team that ball out and that play well. Another one had a triple double. Another one scored well, like
Marcus Damask.
They have a couple pieces. So the only team though that scares me is UConn. Illinois is really good, but I think Illinois, they match up with UConn. I think that's the only team that could get them before the Final Four. So my boys don't have to match up with them. But yeah,
what is it? So Dan Hurley said the NCAA tournament is out to get them because of their hard bracket in the East.
Not hard anymore. Everybody left. Everybody lost. The people that was the tough one. Only team left that's tough to play them is Illinois.
You know, Illinois or Iowa State or Iowa. Well, they're going to get the winner of Illinois, Iowa State.
One or two.
Both of them. Yeah.
We know the better team. There's a reason why they're ranked higher. The better team is – Iowa State is good, but Illinois, I think, is the better team. We'll see who wins. If they get Iowa State, then it's even like not even that tough because you avoided Auburn. You avoided Illinois. Iowa State is good. Don't get me wrong, because Auburn was a 4 seed. Who else? Who are they playing next? UConn.
No. UConn is getting San Diego State next, who they beat in the national championship game last year. I expect them to win that. They'll get the winner versus Illinois. And then if they play Illinois, they're going to have to get the buckets up because you know Illinois is coming. But for the most part, I expect UConn to be there. I expect it to be North Carolina and Arizona, which is going to be fascinating. Overall, so far, I'm pleased.
I see Arizona losing. I see Arizona losing. But I expect Carolina to be there and then UConn. But I'm hoping UConn loses before they get to the four. So we'll see what happens.
And the one thing –
Marquette. We'll see hooping, bro. Tyler Kolek. He's balling, bro. Can't stop him go left. And he got – was it Chase Ross, Cam Jones – They were balling to the lefties. They have three lefties on their team. That's just you can't stop from getting left. So and they're shooting well. If they keep playing like that and he controls the tempo, I could see them being there.
I will say this before we get to our big topic. Never ever, 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 ever.
Sleep on Yale.
No. Will I ever rely on a team that is backed and powered by freshmen? Not only did Jacoby Walter and Baylor fail me, But so did Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham of Kentucky. As talented as they are, and even though those might be the guys who are going to get drafted in the top 10, 15 of this NBA draft upcoming, when it comes tournament time, you need some old heads. And that showed true this past weekend.
Oh, Oregon smoked that game. They should have won. Foul, free throws, small and just simple plays at the end of the game. They should have won. Baylor.
Oregon and Baylor, both of them. Baylor lost to Clemson.
I'm thinking they're both the same colors. Oregon and Baylor, green teams. They smoked the games at the end of the game. Didn't do well. Kentucky already knew that they were said they were young, and some way they were going to shit the bed at some point before everybody else. But yes, you do need some maturity on your group. And even with that, teams are missing free throws. Late game execution is horrible. Timeouts, fouls. I'm like, what's going on? Have y'all not prepared for this? Do y'all not read the scouting report? You know what I'm saying? Like certain things, like this guy only shoots threes. He's taken 8 twos, and one of them was an accidental two.
Yeah. And he made 10 threes on y'all. Come on now.
All he does is shoot threes. So it's like just the execution, the IQ, the scouting reports. It's just like at the end of the game, I'm a little like, what's going on? I'm a little disappointed. And it's probably the youngness of it. And also the change in teams, the NILs, the portals, groups not being together long enough. But that's still all it takes is some level of experience to be like, yo, we need to do this, we need to do that, and some coaching and leadership. Like, yo, timeout, foul, not foul. They're just not they're not managing the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game well.
Yeah, and it turns out to be quite disappointing at times, but yet still entertaining. It's a fact. The NCAA tournament is a fascinating thing because you know you're looking at a lower level of basketball, but yet it still has its moments where you can't take your eyes off of it. It is quite fun to watch. What is not fun, particularly for maybe MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, and also for NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, is all of the controversy that has been arising in the world of sports and sports betting. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about this Jonte Porter, Shohei Ohtani, sports betting stories that have definitely rocked the sports marketplace or world on Monday. Good discussion coming ahead. Be right back. Welcome back to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. You guys know you could find us on Instagram at Inside Green Room and also on Twitter at Green Room Inside. And if we're going to talk about sports, we have to talk about sports betting. And we have to talk about what happened in the world of sports on Monday and over the weekend. So a couple of things in case you have been under a rock. In the world of Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, who is probably the biggest face of baseball, even though English is not his primary language. He's now with the Los Angeles Dodgers, signed the biggest contract in sports history, I believe, this past offseason. Mm-hmm. Either way, he makes boku bucks. Anyways, it came out March 18th, March 19th, that his interpreter had a $4.5 million sports betting debt. Now, mind you, he played or his interpreter lived in California with Shohei because he was a member of the Anaheim Angels. California is not a state where you are allowed to legally sports bet. The story originally came out that coming from Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, that the interpreter got money from Shohei Ohtani to pay off the $4.5 million debt. Here's what makes it interesting. The next day, Shohei Ohtani said that no, he did not pay off any debt for anybody. And his lawyer said that he was a victim of theft, that the money was stolen from him to pay off the debt. On Monday, Shohei Ohtani had a press conference where he did not take questions, but he did say he has never bet on a sporting event. He had not bet on any sporting event and that the money was stolen from him and that his interpreter betrayed his trust. It got even spicier on Monday, too, because Monday evening we saw a report from Adrian Wojnarowski where the NBA is now investigating the Raptors' Jonte Porter for betting issues. And here gives you some of the details. In a game on January 26th against the Los Angeles Clippers, there was an increased betting interest. This is coming from the ESPN article. There was an increased betting interest on the under props for Porter, which was the night it was set at 5.5 points. 4.5 rebounds and 1.5 assists. And there was also an over under for made three pointers, which was at 0.5. That evening, Porter only played 4 minutes before leaving the game because what the Raptors said at the time was an aggravated eye injury. What makes it so much more interesting that there was another instance where Porter on March 20th against the Sacramento Kings. Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting a game because of what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return to the game. Sportsbooks had his over-under prop set at 7.5 and 5.5 rebounds. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's props were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. And as a guy who does sports betting content, nobody bets on Jontae Porter. We bet on Kevin Durant. We bet on Bradley Beal. We bet on LeBron James. Nobody is betting on Jontae Porter. For that to be the number one moneymaker on the books has to be suspicious. And so here we are. Jontae Porter is now under investigation. It does not look good, Danny. Not good at all. We can talk about the world of sports betting in general, we will, but your reaction just to Porter in itself jeopardizing his career, potentially, we don't know if it's true, for what seems to be some shiesty movements.
That was a hell of a explanation on both parts. I appreciate you bringing the details to the table. Because Atani, I did not know the details. I have questions for Atani. Like, is he still friends? Is he still communicating? Because supposedly there was video of him actually communicating and still talking and friendly with his translator after the wire had sent that day. I don't know if he fired him. I don't know if they're still in contact. That's a little interesting and some red flags. But hey, I don't know what's going on. That's not my business. Whatever they happen, they'll figure it out. I hope he doesn't get in trouble for it.
Go ahead.
Jontae is he not Michael Porter Jr.'s brother? I'm assuming. I think so. I think they are family members, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me get the details.
So I do hope that this is not true.
He is the brother of Michael Porter Jr. He's on a two-way contract with the Raptors, earning $415,000 this season. He is the brother of Michael Jr.
Yes. So I hope this is not true. And I don't, it's hard for me to believe this is true for a number of reasons. One, your brother's worth or signed for over $200 million. He's probably going to make over $300 million in his career, maybe close to 400 when he's all said and done. Why put yourself in this position? Two, if you're going to, I guess, bet or gamble, or if you're going to try to fix the game, why do it in a case where it hurts your career?
Mm.
You're on a two-way. Why the hell are you taking the unders? Why are you helping people with the unders? This doesn't make any sense. Like, yo, tell people to take the overs. I could definitely get that. Like, why are you not getting you to make or to miss shots, to take yourself out of games? Yeah, you win a little bit of money gambling, but now you're hurting your career. You just stepped in the league. You're on a two-way. You're trying to get, like, a stable contract. You're trying to be in the league longer years. For you to hurt your numbers, your statistics, and play less games doesn't make any sense. This is stupidity. Like, I don't think he did it. It's hard to believe it. If he did do that, it's like, what the hell? Why would you do it that way? Why not tell, hey, do you think you get 8 points from tonight? Yo, you better bet that I'm getting that at 8 points. Not like I'm going to make sure I get four or I sit out. Like, bro, what? Like, you, that doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, that would be a little idiotic if you were to do that. There's a reason why I stay away from gambling and all that type, because it just seems messy. But I said, I don't believe it. I hope he didn't get in trouble. His family is fine. I don't see why he would, for these types of pennies. I don't know what
he might. But I mean, he might have. I'm not in his business, but not all brothers get along. He could be beefing with his brother. So
possibly, you know, not all family is the same.
But even
putting yourself in that position as a basketball player, a basketball player and a professional, and trying to extend your career, make your own money to do this for. They might not be pennies, but like if you're trying to like get a bigger contract, the NBA contract, I don't see the gambling you with winnings would be your NBA contract if you get a stable contract in this career for the next 5 to 10 years. I don't think that you're going to equal out or balance it or even come close to it. So it just doesn't seem worth it. But yeah, both interesting cases. I said I'm always on the player side, and obviously things later on, it seems small and minuscule because a lot of this shit becomes legal later on. It's like, oh, this guy got arrested for weed back in the day. Now it's legal over the world. This guy got in trouble for gambling. But now, you know, NIL, kids got kicked out of school for smoking weed. Now they don't have a test for it. And it's like, those are the rules at the time. Now you can look back at it and say, oh, it's stupid. But at the time, it's like, yeah, you got to follow the rules. So I hope they beat this. I hope that they get out of this. And I hope, you know, I'm always siding with the players. I don't think they did it. I hope they didn't do it. But I hope they can continue to play in their profession without these legal obligations deterring their careers.
Yeah. The Jonte thing, well, here's the thing. The internet's going to have its fun. And the internet is having fun with Ohtani.
Oh, they're finding every play that he fucking made a shot, missed a shot, or his face. They're looking for everything where it looks like he gambled. You know, it's like blue chips. They're like, did you throw this game?
Yo, yeah. The internet's going to have its fun. It's going to do what it's going to do. But you're right. The more I think about it, it's like, how much of an idiot would Jonte Porter have to be to play to his unders when he's in the league already? And has a brother who's in the league. It wouldn't make any sense unless Danny, there was some external pressure. We don't even want to go down that road. Then you have the Shohei Ohtani thing, which is nuts to me, because how is a man taking $4.5 million out of your bank account and making payments to somebody else and you don't know? Hold on, you are worth buku bucks. You have money.
And it's not all sitting. They don't give it to you all at once, though. This is what people don't understand. They're not giving you it all at once. And it's not all sitting in one account. But the stuff you have in some accounts, you're going to see it missing. The ones you see, 4.5, I don't care how much money you have, you're going to see that missing from one of your accounts if he has access to it. But let's continue.
Yeah, and then for the original story to come out and say Ohtani paid off a debt, as opposed to why in the world, like, and then it turns into, oh no, he stole it from me. Even still, it makes no sense, because even if Ohtani was paying off the debt, why wouldn't Ohtani send the money to the interpreter and then the interpreter pays off the debt? Why would the money go directly from Ohtani, one of the most popular athletes in the world, definitely a top three baseball player in the world? Why would it come specifically from his bank account to a bookie in California
where it's not
even legal?
It went directly from his account. That's kind of crazy. And he said he didn't know about it. I mean, unless his interpreter, which I highly doubt, had access to his account to where he can wire from his account. I don't think so. But yeah, that there's a lot of red flags, a lot of fishy stuff going on. And it's not looking good. That's all we'll say. But I do hope they beat the cases.
Yeah, and as somebody, again, who does sports betting content, you can find some of my content on MSG Network. You can find it on Stadia Network. I even mentioned betting lines when I host ESPN Radio. It is a part of the sports landscape, and it's not going anywhere. All of the financial investment that the FanDuel Sportsbook and the DraftKings Sportsbook and the BetMGM and the Caesars Sportsbook, all of the investment that they have made into the sports and these sports networks, those networks and those sports are not giving the money back. They took it already. They're already utilizing it. So it's here and it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. However, with that being said, some of these players, some of these organizations, and overall, just in general, you have to know what you're doing and the ramifications of some potential negative actions. Everybody, obviously, I'll say this. It can be a fun thing to get involved with if you are responsible, and you have to know who you are as a person to know if there's something that you can even deal with. Because certain people, to be frank, cannot. This is not for you. And it's just frustrating because you have the people who are, quote unquote, righteous about this and saying, well, it shouldn't be in sports anyway. Da, 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 da. No, it can be, but the right people have to do it. Danny, you know what I equivalent it to? It's just like drinking. People, you know, you can have a drink, but you have to know, are you the type of person?
What your limits are, how can you handle?
Who can tolerate having a drink? It's
everything in moderation, but you got to know yourself. You got to know your genes, just like with anything, you know, from drinking to eating food. If you want to be in shape, some people can eat certain foods, certain people can't. You know your body, you know your mind. You got to know, at some point, you got to know your limits. As an adult, I can only have 2 glasses of wine before things get ugly. I cannot drink dark liquor. I know if I lose this amount of money, I need to stop, because it'll go eventually. I'll be losing my house and kids and wife. So
It gets even trickier now too, because when you talk about these leagues, Major League Baseball, obviously they're the big issue with Pete Rose, who has not been allowed into the Baseball Hall of Fame, even though he's one of the best baseball players of all time, because he was found to have bet on baseball. And even if you go back to the NBA, it's a tricky thing for them to get into because Tim Donaghy, of all people, had a lot of things to say about the NBA during the Jordan era and how it was how betting and all that type of stuff impacted games. So it's a tricky thing for both of these leagues to get back into. But again, Danny, the check's still going clear. They go the leagues and the networks are still going to take that check from these companies. So how is it even avoidable? Like if let's say we talked about earlier in the show, April 4th, Golden State Warriors, Houston Rockets. This actually feels like a play-in game. Yeah. Somehow the Warriors win on a controversial call in the end. You know what's going to happen? Yeah. Adam Silver wanted this. Oh, that's what the book said. Da, 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 da. We're in a tricky world right now, and I ask everybody to not assume the worst.
Exactly, and that's why, to the point of recently we had this discussion at Yahoo, and I proposed in college, I know people hate the reviews and going to the monitors. They can make it quicker. They do it better in the NBA. I think you need one challenge a half for sure. And at the end of games, coaches should be able to challenge. Because when you're not able to challenge, the Kansas game where the kid got the block and they miscalled it. The Tennessee game, there was a block. They called the foul. Those plays changed the whole swing of a game, the whole momentum. If you're able to challenge these calls at least one a half or at least at the end of the game, have a fourth ref, it's worth it to get it right. Even if it takes a little longer. Obviously, you can cut out the 2 minutes
that can come.
And now when you have those plays that happen, it's like, oh, they wanted Kansas to win. Now Sanford is going home like, damn, you know, we lost. We got screwed on this, you know, because, you know, the books, the bets and, you know, the leagues, they want this. But and they didn't even go look at it. They didn't change it. When you have a fourth ref out there and somebody will challenge it, it's like, all right. And you better get it right when you get a chance to review it. I hate when they look at the monitor and still get it wrong. But when you have that opportunity to do that, you know what I'm saying, it's better to have a more pure product than it is, you know what I'm saying? And if it takes longer time, it's better to have the product right than to have a false product. Because then people will be disinterested and then they'll feel cheated and they'll feel like it's all, you know, a scam, government rigged. Books, but it's all rigged. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a topsy-turvy world that we have going on here in the world of sports. But interesting nonetheless, we'll continue to follow the DeJounte Murray story. And I know the Shohei Ohtani story is not a basketball story, but man, is that a story.
DeJounte Porter. DeJounte Porter. DeJounte Murray. You said DeJounte Murray.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My
can't
fault
throw DeJounte. DeJounte. Porter, yeah.
DeJounte Porter story is definitely interesting. And please, if any NBA players listen to the podcast, don't get caught on that Summer Jam screen. That's not a good look. And then the Shohei Ohtani story is, again, not a basketball story, but a fascinating one nonetheless. And overall, the overall influence of all of these new streams of revenue for these leagues are going to become more and more evident. And they're going to lead to a lot more discussions as well. So we'll be keeping track of it. And I feel like I should end this episode by telling y'all, bet responsibly, please.
Read, subscribe, rate, review. End with that too. Read, rate, subscribe, review.